Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, and we're going to continue today to look at John chapter 16, maybe the beginning of John 17, as we're walking with the Lord, trying to learn more, really, the thought, the mind of Jesus, the priorities of Jesus in this really extraordinary section of the Bible, the Last Supper discourse in John's Gospel. Jesus with the apostles at the Last Supper, Our Lady. And, you know, I was thinking what it must have been like for Our Lady to be present, to just listen to her son. And, I mean, just, wow, what an amazing, amazing time. But verse 33 we're at in John 16. Jesus said, I've said this to you, that in me you may have peace. He's been saying to the apostles, he's saying that the conversation they've had throughout this discourse and all the things Jesus said about what was going to happen to him, the trials they were going to face, the mission that Jesus had given them, the intimate way he spoke to them about how profoundly he loved them. He gave them teaching about abide in me. If you abide in me, you're going to bear much fruit. He said, now remember, you haven't chosen me. I've chosen you. And I've chosen you, and I've appointed you to go bear fruit, to bear the character of the kingdom, Jesus' own character in our lives, to have the fruits of the Holy Spirit present in us, to become transformed people, and to bring that transformation, that kingdom into the world by living for him and not just for ourselves, not just for my own personal advancement, but I'm living for the Lord with my spousal relationship, with my children, my family, every environment I've been given responsibility for, I want to bring the presence of the King into that environment. I'm not saying I preach in every environment, like work or whatever, but I bring who he is to me, who he's called me to be. And he's saying here, I've said these things to you. I've taught you these things. And I told you the Father will teach you. And the Father has given me everything. And I'm giving you everything, that is to the church. And you're a member of the church, and the church helps us see and receive and walk in it and live it out, all that stuff that Jesus is teaching, and then helping them see, again, what would happen to him, and that they would lament, they would be sad, they would be beating their chest with sorrow at the death of Jesus. But he said, then soon your sorrow will turn to joy. Jesus is talking about the resurrection. And then he says, I've said all this to you to prepare you. I said you're my friends. I will never leave you. He calls you friend. Each and every one of us, he calls me friend. And he's the definition of faithfulness. He's the best friend you could ever have. Yes, he's my Lord. He's my God. He's my Savior. And we stand in awe of him. But he also said, I call you friends. He knows you by name. A friend knows a friend. And he knows you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strengths. He knows your concerns. He knows your life situation. And he says to you, my peace I leave with you. I've told you all these things because I want you to have my peace. I want you to have what he talked about earlier when he described the peace that's in him. I want you to possess it. Here's a good question for us individually, even corporately, as a church, is with all the chaos that's going on in society, the shaking of the nations that the Lord's permitting, the storm that's going on, are you at peace? Do you have a sense of calm at the core? Or are you raging and in tumult? You know, the analogy we talked about, the Jesus in the boat with the apostles a few weeks back, we talked about it, and the storm is whipped up. The boat is rocking. The apostles are afraid, despite the fact some were fishermen. The apostles were afraid that the boat was going to capsize. They could die. And where's Jesus? He's sound asleep. He's at peace. And then when they wake him in panic, they said, wait a minute, Lord, don't you care about us? That's what they said. Of course he did, right? Isn't that what we're like? Are we living in that kind of storm right now that we're all whipped up in our minds and our hearts and we're scared and confused and angry and identifying enemies in our life and being afraid of tomorrow and disappointment and all that stuff? Are we caught up in it? Or did we find some calm, the quiet place in the storm? That's what Jesus is saying here. He said, because in the world, this is verse 33, in the world you will have tribulation. It's going to happen. But he says to us very clearly, you don't have to live in fear of it. You don't have to get caught up in it. In fact, I don't want you to get caught up in it. I want you to live from me, live in me and live from me, so you can walk in peace, you can walk in meekness, that is, you can have your strength under control, you can guard your tongue, you can speak when the Spirit prompts you to speak, and God gives you words to speak that will give life. And he said, but instead be of good cheer because of what I'm about to do. I'm going to destroy everything that could have ever had a permanent hold on you. I'm giving you now the life of the kingdom. So be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. Don't be afraid. That's why, again, 365 times people say there's the phrase, be not afraid, is in the Bible 365 times. It's one for every day of the week. Be not afraid. Start your day there. When you get stirred up, when you hear conversations, when the angst and the anger of what's going on in the culture, politically, whatever comes on, and you start to feel yourself lose your peace. Let that stuff go. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. You stay focused. Stay focused on the life and the love, living out the first commandment, the second commandment, walking in the footsteps of Jesus in your job and your career and everything, and he'll give you wisdom. There's tough decisions ahead for all of us. It's not easy, but Jesus knows that. He's not living pie in the sky. He knows what it's like, and he walked in peace in the midst of that crisis. So be of good cheer. Now, that's a decision. It's not just an emotion. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances. That's a decision, because obviously we're not going to have that emotion 24/7, but we can decide, I'm going to give thanks to the Lord. I'm going to thank him every day for life, for his promises to me, into my family, and what he's doing in our lives, what he's done for us, to just walk in that. So important to do that. Now we're into John 17, which is a long chapter. I might not be able to get it all in today or tomorrow, but it's Jesus's prayer and prayer for the church. Verse 1, it says, Jesus lifted his eyes to the heavens, to the Father. The hour has come to glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Here's the whole purpose of Jesus' coming. The Son has come to glorify the Father. And the Father will glorify the Son by raising him from the dead and filling him with glory. Jesus will glorify the Father by obeying him to the end. That loving not his own life more than his love for the Father. He didn't seek to preserve himself from death or the unjust treatment that came his way, because he knew it was in the Father's plan for his life and for the salvation of the world. Jesus said yes to the Father right to the last moment, and he saved us through it. Remember what I said a few weeks ago in John 14? Jesus said his central motive, his first motive, you know, of saying yes and dying on the cross was, he wanted the whole world to know that he loved the Father. He wanted the whole world to know that he loved the Father. And that gets expressed, and he showed you and he showed me, the way that gets expressed is in obedience, is the free surrender of our lives in trust to God and all that he calls us to. Verse 2, it says, since you have given him power over all flesh, Jesus is saying, Father, you've given me power over all flesh to give eternal life to all you've given me. This is, again, another one of those shocking statements of Jesus. Something that no other religious leader, supposed God, religious guru could ever do. Muhammad can't give you eternal life. Buddha can't give you eternal life. Forms of meditation, philosophies, none of it can give you eternal life. At best, it can give you ideas, maybe give you a glimmer of the truth, possibly, and some of it. But what you need, what I need, what salvation is God's eternal life given to us. Christianity means life, being brought from death to life. It's not just improving our condition and then still being subject to death. It's not just a set of ideas. It's a new creation. It's getting a share in or receiving the gift of eternal life, a life that is in God. That's salvation. And to have it for all eternity, that's salvation. So Jesus said, he acknowledges, you've given me power over all flesh, over the entire human race. Jesus accepts that. He claims it. He's not just another prophet. He's not just another wise teacher. He's not just another Christ among Christs. He is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He is the Lord. He's the Savior of the world. And only in his death and the shedding of his blood can man be saved. And it's only by his yes to God that the whole kingdom of darkness has been brought down and the whole regime of sin and death has been destroyed. Only in Jesus Christ. And only in Jesus is there the glory of God united to humanity. Only in Jesus is fully there and in him as the source of glory. The Father has given him. He's the source of life. Nobody else is. Not a saint. Nothing. Only Jesus. It all flows from him. He's entirely unique and he's acknowledging that. And he says in verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. There it is. The one who knows, Jesus Christ. This is eternal life. You don't get eternal life by just living certain disciplines or following your own bliss, defining your own reality, following other religious paths or gods or nature, whatever. You don't get eternal life that way. It comes through Jesus. It comes through believing in God and believing in his beloved Son. Jesus says it right here. This is something to commit to memory, friends. John 17:3, and this is eternal life. If you say, why are you a Christian? I'm a Christian because it's the only way to find eternal life. I'm a Christian because I'm destined and called, created by God to live in eternal life. And I can have eternal life because it's here where my sins and all that leads to death and destroys life is dealt with. I'm a Christian because God has given me his life in his Son Jesus. And he's given me power to become a child of God. How do you get there? That you come to know the true God through Jesus Christ and you believe in him whom God has sent. You believe in Jesus Christ. That belief begins with repentance and faith, or saying yes to Jesus and repenting, being baptized into him, having our sins forgiven, and have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit to become a child of God in union with God. That's Christianity at its heart, friends. Christianity is new life, eternal life, and that life is in a person. It's in Jesus of Nazareth. Isn't that beautiful? Thanks be to God for his plan. And that's not arrogance, that's not pride, that's simply the truth. That's not my truth, it is God's truth. It is truth itself being revealed to us. Thanks be to God. Jesus says in verse 4, I have glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work you have sent me to do. May we be able to say the same thing as Jesus did. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.